thank you, Nicola, for your kind words and for giving me the opportunity to address this audience. It's not the first time I'm addressing this audience, so I'm not going to go through the commonplace, but I will try to go to the common sense. So, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all. It is my honor and pleasure to offer the introductory remarks to today's forum. It focuses, and very correctly, on sustainability and climate change and our industry's response to it. Again, starting from the common ground, everybody agrees that shipping needs to do its part to address climate change. Shipping is, on a CO2 per ton mile basis, the least polluting way of transporting cargoes, and shipping will not use as bunkers and will not transport as cargo fuels that are specific to it. In other words, shipping will be transporting and using the fuels that the rest of the economy, the rest of the world, will predominantly use. Having said that, we also all agree that something needs to be done. Christine Lagarde attended a few days ago the IEA and EIB forum on ensuring an orderly energy transition in a period of global energy transformation. I think it's good to get to understand what she is actually saying, because she is one of the great influencers of the world. In her opening remarks, a little bit like today me, she said that there are three key elements of a smooth transition: avoiding procrastination, understanding the challenges, and sharing the burden fairly. In particular, she stressed that we should not think that we can smooth out the cost of the transition by pushing back climate targets. We should strive to understand the specific obstacles that firms are facing in investing in the green transition, and as far as sharing the burden is concerned, front-loading green investments will cause high short-term costs and related backlashes. In particular, Christine Lagarde stressed that we could see stronger price pressures in commodities. These remarks are, of course, quite frank. For my part, not being constrained by political correctness, I will add what I believe was left unsaid but clearly implied. It is not realistic to expect the majority of the private investors to take specific investment decisions unless they can convince their board of directors, their shareholders, and other stakeholders that doing so will not bankrupt the company and hopefully will make a return on investment equal to any other investment opportunity. Nor will the banks provide subsidized loans, nor will investment funds give away equity funding. The corollary of this is that public institutions and states, and eventually public opinion, must provide incentives and/or compulsion. This has to be in the form of subsidized funding and clear and enforceable regulations that apply equally to all. At the end of the day, as Mrs. Lagarde notes, this means that the public at large, i.e., the consumer and taxpayer, will have to face higher commodity costs and/or high taxes to fund these efforts. As another eminent economist has said, there is no such a thing as a free lunch. My view, however, is that subsidies and incentives are good for kickstarting the process of innovation and experimenting, but they cannot be a permanent solution. The transition to new fuels will be costly and difficult, and in the long run, it will have it to pay its own way. Transferring the cost to others, who are they, via subsidies and taxes is not a long-term solution. It is even more so for the less developed countries that are transiting from a low consumption of energy per capita to higher consumption per capita. These countries already have enough trouble financing their energy consumption at current levels, yet we are asking them for a deeper sacrifice. Another issue is that we should focus on the specific problems each economic segment faces. In our case, in shipping, we hear a lot from the ammonia lobby, the methanol lobby, the nuclear lobby, the fuel cells lobby, the hydrogen lobby, the carbon capture lobby, etc. None of these lobbies actually offer today something which ship owners and their bankers and investors can really adopt as a realistic prospect. At best, we should have to wait for a few years for these technologies to develop and be proven. Meanwhile, investment decisions have to be made today, even if the decision is not to invest. Lastly, consideration which is very tangential to today's proceedings and shipping in general is that regulations and hope are far ahead of technology. We at the ONS Foundation have taken the net zero pledge for 2050. However, I am sure we are not alone in not really having determined specifically what fuel our ships will be using, and we do not know what cargoes our ships will be carrying in 2030. Coal, crude oil, and energy are a major part of our cargoes. If we are to carry ammonia, hydrogen, CO2, or something else, somebody must tell us quickly. I know, and we do it ourselves, that many in the audience have established internal research units to consider the technological challenges. Many of us work with academic institutions for the same purpose. I would like to call for the shipping industry, and particularly Greek ship owners, to unify these efforts. It will save costs and avoid duplication. None of us will invent the wheel alone. Ship owners will, with very much difficulty and a high cost, produce patentable inventions. It is more likely that we shall all reach similar conclusions, more or less, at the same time. Importantly, joining forces will save time, and in this matter, time is of the essence. Joining forces to establish the way to the future fuels and engines is a more rational and efficient way to use our capital and another scarce resource, time. Thank you for your attention.